10 o'clock on Friday night, I'm pretty snookered. How about you, Jamie?
This
is Wes.
And it's James.
And welcome to a special edition of Geek Week.
Where the hell am I? Tonight, he's gonna get it right. Even losers can get lucky sometimes. All the freaks got a winning streak. In a perfect world, all the geeks get the girls.
Welcome to the special edition of Geek Week. We've got quite a few people here discussing tonight. How you doing tonight, Jamie?
I'm here and I'm a little bit buzzed.
That sounds good. I'm pretty buzzed myself. We're going to talk about a topic that seems to be in the media like crazy this week. It's immigration. They're passing laws or trying to. You know how this government's tried to pass laws in the last, 6 years now?
6 years.
And most of them seem ridiculous, but hey.
Hey, what can you do?
Don't get me started on the Patriot Act. I'm just waiting for someone to sue because it's unconstitutional, because they'll be able to prove that pretty quick. But anyway, we're talking about immigration and our thoughts on it. Joining us on this panel this evening, of course, is Jamie.
Hello!
To my left here. Joining us is a real good friend of his, and hopefully a good friend of this podcast is going to be Jason, who is not the same Jason that's normally here with us, who will probably show up later in the time. Jason, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone.
And then we've got Abe sitting here in the back.
Greetings, all.
And Derek, who has been on the last two podcasts with us.
How you doing?
And we're going to be discussing immigration and our thoughts on it. So, Jamie, take it away. What are your thoughts?
All right. Immigration, technically we need these people because they do the crappy jobs that, you know, you don't want to do. You know, if you go out and you graduate high school, you're a white male, or even, let's say, a black male, an African American. You know, you aspire to having all these jobs, and you're not going to be paid minimum wage to do, you know, pick fruit.
Sorry about the technical difficulties we're having there.
I know. I'm deaf in that ear now. Thank you.
I'm very sorry about that.
A little warning next time would be nice. But
do you think the illegal immigrants are only doing the jobs that are crappy that people won't normally do? Because you hear people complaining, and like South Park does it really well. They took our jobs. Do you really think they're taking our jobs? Are these jobs that people are actually doing to begin with? Or
no,
I don't think so.
Absolutely,
like lower paying jobs. I mean, janitors. What else do they do? Construction workers, landscaping. What else is there?
Let's say shiftless Home Depot employees.
Wait. Speaking of someone who's actually built a fence, I don't ever want to fucking do that shit again.
Amen.
Okay.
For those of y'all listening, tonight's episode is a little bit uncut.
My bad.
No, that's okay. Speak your mind.
Yeah, I've actually built fences. Not fun. No. I don't want to do it again. It's not for anyone who's actually gone to college. It's not the kind of job you do if you actually have an education.
Ow. Sorry. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Please bear with us. Hopefully it won't be doing this anymore. I'm testing levels on this thing, and we got a new mixing board, and we're trying to get used to it.
And now I'm deaf in both ears. Thank you.
I tried my very best. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My take on it is, all right, I think the problem most people are having is, all right, they're trying to pass that English as the
national language,
which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. But, you know, the big argument is it's unconstitutional and it's real discriminating. But
I have to say something real fast. I was watching the news today. And the Senate Minority Leader, Henry Reid from Nevada, when they're talking about trying to pass the English as a national language law, his comment was, "That's totally racist."
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I think it's a bunch of bullshit.
No, seriously, here is why it's not racist. It's anti-cultural, yes, because it's a different culture. Racist has to do with race. If they were to say, all right, no wetbacks are going to be able to come to this country, that would be racist.
And just to interject here, wetback equals Mexican.
Yes.
There are plenty of white people in Canada who speak French. How is it racist to them?
But here's the thing, guys. If you go to Europe and you go to any country over there, the Europeans, if you go to Germany and you want to be a citizen, they're going to require that you speak German.
Yes.
And you're going to have to go along with their way of life and the way they do things. This country was based on immigration, obviously. And the difference between immigration then as opposed to immigration now is this. Say the turn of the century, you got a bunch of Irish immigrants and Italian immigrants coming
that's
in.
That's more like the early 19th century. That's one of the big influx of immigrants.
Late 1800s, early 1900s. You have immigrants from Italy.
From all over Europe, basically.
Pretty much, coming in. But they wanted to be Americans. They wanted to embrace the American lifestyle. They learned English. They learned our history. They learned 4th of July and things like that. The Mexicans that are coming in now, and I'm not saying all of them because, you know, I know quite a few people here legally that are trying to be Americans. They want to learn English. They want to learn the history of the country. We took, it's not like we totally ignored, say, the Irish lifestyle or the Italian lifestyle, the German lifestyle, or what happened to come in. We integrated it into our society, so we have good parts of it integrated.
Thank God for Oktoberfest.
St. Patrick's Day. The people that are coming in now are expecting us to totally embrace their entire culture and change ours to theirs.
I don't know. I feel like it's slowly turned into the United States of Mexico.
It's a possibility.
Mm. It really is.
51st state.
From what?
Which is a very good movie, but in America they call it former. Sorry to go off track, but there's a funny movie called 51st State in England. It has Samuel L. Jackson, Robert Carlyle in it. Mm. But that's what they call it in England. But in the United States, they call it Formula 51. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. I'll tell you about it later.
I've seen the movie, Formula 51.
Anyway, sorry.
The take I have on it is, I don't mind all these people coming in, actually. This is a, you know, to them it's a better country. Our problem is, and my fiance, she's in school to be an economics major, and they study this quite a bit. If you go to Europe, the countries that surround, say, all right, let's just say Germany, for instance, all the countries that are around Germany, their economy isn't crappy. It's pretty, you know, much the same as Germany. So there's not a lot of people coming over. Mexico has the worst economy ever. Our gross domestic product or our average income for a family is at least $41,000 a year. In Mexico, it's like $120 a year. So obviously, yes, they're going to come over to our country.
Part of the reason I think is the part of the influx of immigration is because of the Mexican government. The whole country is so corrupt with everything. I mean, in order to get something, you have to bribe anything done.
They have a president. They have a, you know, up until the, was it 90s or the 80s? They had a dictatorship. The president they got now, he's a great guy and he wants to do a lot, but the
government. Except for the legalizing of drugs, well, you know.
Other than that.
Well, he wanted to open up the borders in America to begin with.
But get this. He can't get anything passed because the government that's installed, the people in their version of the House and Senate, they don't want to work with it. And they're making their laws. You have to pay this guy off to get this. You have to pay this guy off to get this. The way I'm looking at it, and I'm going to sound a little bit extreme here, but I was listening to it today while I was driving the car, and it's just driving me crazy. And I hadn't really thought about it a lot until lately, and this put some thought in my mind. We're in Iraq, where there was a dictator that we deposed. We installed our troops. We're installing a government. We're trying to change their economy and make them self-sufficient. Yes, they're over there. They're, quote, terrorists, according to our government. But we got Mexico below us, who has the worst economy in the world, very corrupt dictatorship pretty much running the country. Why did we not send the troops down there and install a good government and try to raise their economy? Because they're screwing over ours. Because
that would have looked bad to the global government in general.
That's true, but doesn't look at blah, blah, blah.
Manifest destiny. Two words you need to learn.
Right, touche.
Jamie is the history major among all of us.
One manifest frickin' destiny.
Second freshman year, he was a history major.
Well, we're trying to keep the Mexicans out. Why would we go invade Mexico?
Well, you know, all right, I tell you what.
I don't think they needed to invade Mexico.
As someone who has worked with a group of Mexicans, some illegal and some not illegal, I was once a shipping office clerk, and we loaded a bunch of trucks and things like that. They're very hardworking, and they will do most everything. And most of them want to be legal.
I don't deny that.
And the thing is, I'm not saying amnesty is good for everyone who's already here illegal. And the first time I've ever agreed with our president, Mr. Bush, on anything is when he said, you know, they pay some kind of fine to be here and they stay.
Yeah, like a temporary work visa.
Right.
Kind of thing.
But if you give them a work visa and the taxes are suddenly coming out of their check, the national coffer is like tripled overnight.
And they pay for themselves. I agree with that. I'm not against that.
But I agree. Our problem is, and some of the statistics I heard today are very scary, within the next several years, they're projecting over 120 million people are going to be crossing the border from Mexico here.
On that note.
In hold on a second. Let me finish. In the 1980s, the births of the year, 15 to 16% of the babies born were illegal immigrants. Today, 51% of the children born are illegal. Okay, each one of those becomes an American citizen the second they're born. When they hit 21, they can legally bring home their mother, father, brothers, sisters, anybody that's living in another country. They can legally bring them here. That's 120 million people, and most of them are living in California, Nevada, Texas, and Georgia.
Yeah.
Those are the only four states, really, that have a huge...
What about, like, in Florida?
Florida is a huge...
Florida, it's Cuban.
There's a lot of Cubans in Florida.
But
still.
But that's Cuban. More Miami than...
Yeah, but they have to swim a channel. Most of them drown.
Well, you know, anyway. My thought is, I don't
Unless
have a problem
cute
with them being
kids.
Here. I don't have a problem with them being here, but... If you go to a European country and you have a visa and your visa is up, they're knocking on your door that day to tell you to either
yes,
go home or
are.
Apply for a new visa. You know, the president and his – how many of y'all saw the president's speech the other night?
I didn't.
Oh, goodness.
He's talking about the catch and release program. People's visa comes up. They catch them, arrest them, but they're so crowded they let them go and give them a court date to show up to, and they don't show up and they don't even go after
this
them.
This is my problem. It's just okay. The federal government overall period is – is no matter how much they do, it's always going to be slow, and the process is going to take forever for anything, for any type of issue, out, like immigration or whatever the heck's out there. It's always going to be the most slowest process out there in this country. I mean, it's maybe going a little off topic, but my biggest concern is not, I mean, federal government is part of it, but my biggest concern is more with local and state government. To me, they have the more bigger impact on the where you live in terms of how you're going to be doing things and everything in the world. That's how I see it, but... I just think the whole federal government thing, I mean, as much as they want to do it, regardless Republican or Democrat, it's going to take, like, when any process comes, it's going to take years and years to get anything to get the problem solved.
I totally agree with that. Go ahead, Jamie.
Now, a lot of the problems that the influx of immigrants is causing is the Spanish immigrants are the fastest growing minority in this country. Pretty soon, all these civil rights activists of the African Americans, yeah, they're not going to have a say anymore. And in, say, 20, 30 years, they're going to be the majority.
Well, the big debate today was the English as a national language. And, you know, beforehand, and I think they even tackled this on the West Wing, how ludicrous it is. But, you know, we're the only country in the world that doesn't have a national language, really.
Yep.
Very good point.
Exactly. I mean, every other country has a national language, and how is it unconstitutional to say that English is the national language? It's not. And my other question is, and maybe y'all can answer this for me, how is it unconstitutional to say that against people who are here illegally, who aren't really protected by the Constitution?
Well, I kind of feel it was ironic that people who were illegal were protesting all over the country.
Where were the cops arresting those people?
I was wondering where the INS was. I mean, and that's not even joking. Seriously, if you know that thousands of illegal immigrants are posting or protesting, isn't it your job to go arrest them?
Well, there are so many it's reached the point where there are so many people here illegally, there's not enough men. There's like one man for every 2,000 people. You can't do anything at that point, and I don't think it's going to be a benefit to this country to just deport people.
But
you know,
is it going to be a benefit to just, like, give them all amnesty either?
No, and that's why I do agree with the president's idea of they pay a certain fine they can stay. If you want to be...
My only thing about that is, I mean, that's good that you can get all the fines and everything, but how are you going to have the process of making them pay those fines? Like, you can have all those court dates, like you said earlier. There's no way to enforce the law for these fines and everything.
Think of the jobs they could create for people to be enforcement officers for this.
Well,
the thing is, the Mexicans are the ones that are going to do the job.
I was going to say, who are you going to have build this giant super wall? You're going to have the Mexicans build the wall, let's be honest.
Well, that's the thing. The president has to make them legal in order to hire them to build the wall.
Exactly.
The government job.
Exactly.
But, all right, here's the thing. You've got so much of this stuff has just been let go over the years. You know, 5 years ago, there weren't that many people here. But over the last 5 years, if you look at, all right, we live in a little dinky town in Georgia, you know, around the Carrollton, Bremen, Douglasville area. We're on Interstate 20 near the Alabama border. 5 years ago, there were a few Mexicans here. Now, it's like a whole cottage industry. The thing is, if you can imagine, the tax money we get off of these people would be just amazing.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
Apparently, y'all never lived anywhere near where I grew up. I grew up on a farm. I remember growing up seeing just a truck go by, and the back of it would be full of Mexican workers. They would bring them in from the border.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that.
I was just noticing, because I was coming up to your house today, Jamie, and going on the 431. Anyway, I was just noticing, like, it was, like, kind of probably before Roanoke, maybe? Mm-hmm. Before Roanoke, I saw a bunch of Mexicans they had out there doing the, I guess, power lines or something, or telephone lines or something. And I was just kind of laughing, driving up here. I was like, man, I would never... It kind of shocked me at first, but then I thought, it doesn't surprise me. They're everywhere in the whole country now.
See, the whole process about making someone legal here, this is where the problem is. I remember a couple of years ago, they were talking about California wanted to pass a law that made it legal for illegal aliens to get driver's licenses.
Yeah,
I remember
that's
that.
Smart.
I thought that was retarded, but then I found out that they were trying to do that to get people to show up to get licenses, and then they're like, oh, you're illegal? Well, I have to deport you first, and then you can come back and get a license. Deporting is not the answer. Building this big wall, I don't think it's going to help that much.
What do we... Perot?
Yeah.
We're going to build a dome. I'm going to put it over the country.
Hey, the 6,000 troops are going to help, not by much, but it's going to cover about...
There's going to be one man for every thousand.
The thing is, something needs to be done. The question is what, though?
Here's my idea, guys. Wait a minute. You have the Rio Grande. You build a wall. About 5 miles in, you build a second wall. In between those two walls, you line it with, say, 2 million landmines. Anybody who can make it across that is a citizen. Any piece of anybody who can make it across that is a citizen. Oh, I'm sorry, Julio. You landed 50 feet from the border. You're not a citizen, but your foot is. Congratulations.
I think your foot
can sign up for amnesty and
send you back the money.
We
need to do something more along the lines of, just because you have a child in this country doesn't mean they're a citizen.
That needs to be edited. No, I completely agree. I feel that there needs to be like a year limit. Like, you need to be in the States X amount of years before you can sign up for welfare.
Right.
I think it's... You know, BS.
But that still goes back to a newborn
can sign up for welfare. I think that's BS.
That still goes to my same argument, though. How the heck, even if you do this, like, give them, like, a year thing or whatever you want to give them, or a fine or whatever, how the heck are you going to enforce the law to get these people to pay
the thing?
There's no way to do it.
But it's easier that way, because what the people do is they come over, they have a child, and they have a newborn. You can't kick out the newborn, and thus you can't kick out the parent.
They get everything through the child.
If you take away the child's rights as a new American citizen, you take away everything that they're using to live here.
Obviously, you've never tried to kick out a newborn.
All right. Here's the thing. In Europe, this goes back to the fine thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to live in the EU, if you go to a certain country, you know, let's just say the Netherlands. I don't know if this is the way the law is, but I'm just going to use it as an example. If I want to move from Germany to the Netherlands, I have to have a certain amount in my bank account. I have to live there a certain amount of years before I can get a job. And once I can prove I can... But the thing is, poor people are doing it. They're saving every penny they have to pay the fine or pay the entrance fee to get into that country to become a citizen. What the president said makes sense. They've been living here illegally. They don't need a free ride into the country. Pay a little fine, even if it's like $2,000. All right, these guys could work 3 weeks at Home Depot, make the money... Or do a contracting job, pay the fund, then they can stay here. And then they're signed up, and then their tax money comes out, and it benefits the country. These people are already here. There's no way to get rid of them. There's a way to stop the people that are coming over now, and there's got to be some way to help Mexico become a better place that people want to stay at.
You're failing to see one aspect of this.
What is that?
All right, say that this is implemented and, you know, your Mexican workers are now citizens of the United States. That means we have to pay them minimum wage, which means everything you own or everything you're going to buy goes up.
No, that's not true, actually. Contracting jobs don't have to pay minimum wage. Again, I actually have built houses. You can pay percentages based on the job. They don't have to be paid minimum wage.
If it's not a full-time job,
yeah,
you can pay a percentage.
Seasonal
work. That actually will not affect their paycheck at all.
Seasonal work can actually, it doesn't fall under the purview of the Minimum Wage Act. Although the minimum wage needs to come up a little bit. You know, they haven't raised minimum wage since, like, 1989 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, what, 5.15, which is ridiculous?
I think
it's up to 5.75 now.
Ooh, big jump.
No, it's still 5.15.
It's still
5.15. Here's the thing. The cost of living has gone up. The cost of gas has gone up, obviously.
Hell yeah.
The cost of everything has gone up, but the cost of wages has gone down 2%. So people obviously cannot survive off of it. The gas inflation thing, I'm sorry, but it's a long time coming. The rest of the world has been paying these prices forever.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We have had a good run, and the problem is they hit us with it overnight. If they had gradually moved up like the rest of the world, it would not be a problem right now. Everybody would be used to it. But, you know, suddenly you go from – I can remember as a senior in high school in 1991, I was paying 98 cents a gallon for gas. And
I remember as low as a kid, probably at 60 cents a gallon.
Yeah, 70 cents a gallon when I was a kid.
Recently I looked at something on CNN.com. It was a they were just doing a general broad scope of what had been going on. 2001, the national average was $1.50, right?
Right
now the average is a little over $3. Within about roughly 5 years, it has tripled or doubled. It's doubled within about 5 year period.
Here's the crazy.
That's a lot to take in.
Here's the crazy. They blame it a lot on the war and in the Middle Eastern countries. But you know, the number one place we get oil from is Canada. Number two is some other place around here, like Mexico.
Well, what did they say? If we use Alaska and Texas, we could give enough oil for America for 10, 20 years is what they say. If we use only the sources we have.
Whatever oil company decides to start using alternative means is going to be rich as hell one day. Pardon me, we're uncut right now. They're going to be rich as fuck.
But the question is, who will do it first, though? Who's going to be willing to make the risk first?
Nobody is.
Exactly, that's the problem.
It's kind of a little bit off topic, but still about oil. But recently, I think it was on 60 Minutes or something, they did an article, did a story about in Brazil, the whole country is now completely on ethanol oil right now, and they are not even using any import oil in everything right now.
Iceland's about the same way, except they're using a form of water. I think it's ionized.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're getting to the point now where refining it ourselves is costing the same as buying it from another country.
Well, part of the reason is a lot. I hate this. I don't know if y'all probably disagree, but a lot of environmentalists have pushed a lot of things to where the U.S. cannot build any more refineries in this country, so that's part of the reason we're importing so much oil from all over the world.
Well, they want to try and save our national treasures. Anwar and the... It's like, what are you going to... You have destroying a natural habitat or drilling for oil. You know, the habitat's important, but so is the oil.
But the way they can drill for it, it doesn't destroy the habitat at all.
Well,
underneath the earth.
Let's be honest here. This shouldn't even really be an issue. If the oil companies hadn't bought up all the rice for the solar power and the electronic cars, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, we wouldn't even have this issue.
I want my flying car.
That shouldn't be an issue.
Like the lone gunman, I want my car that runs on water.
Oh. I want the Back to the Future car. Get Mr. Fusion. You put anything.
Speaking of
people
which,
are willing to put the money behind it, it's really not out of our grasp.
There was a recent episode.
There
was a recent episode of MythBusters. They took a diesel car. They filled it with used cooking oil, fry oil, and it ran. The only difference between that and diesel fuel was about 2%. Instead of 33 miles a gallon, they got 30 miles a gallon.
And the smell, obviously.
Well,
but you know, here's the thing. Our oil does not come from, most of what we use comes from Canada and countries that are around here, not even the Middle East. Now, recently, Sean and I went out to San Francisco, and the gas prices were the exact same. But here's the kicker. Georgia has the lowest gas tax in the country. Is no reason on God's green earth our fucking gas prices should be the same as California.
Actually, there's one.
Let me interject real
there's
quick.
One. Green. Katrina.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Katrina.
But you know, let me interject. I was in high school in 96, 97. I went to California to visit a friend. You know, their gas prices were double ours.
They've been paying $3 a gallon for the last five
years.
Exactly.
It was over $3 a gallon in 96. How funny that it's almost the same now, and we're at that.
I think it's a lot to do with the local gas guys are gouging us. We're getting gouged. It's obvious we're getting gouged.
We're not getting gouged. We're getting fucked. That's what we're getting.
Fucked in the ass. Huh.
And I don't like our power that, holding my ankles, goddammit.
That second hurricane that came through, the gas prices, boom, shot up.
But there's no
and
reason
they showed,
for it, though.
Yeah, but they showed that no pipelines whatsoever were affected. by that second hurricane.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. The crazy thing is, I remember all the major news networks were making fun of our governor, Sonny Perdue, for closing schools for 2 days to conserve gas.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you know what? It was freaking smart. They were running out of gas for like cop cars and ambulances and things that run on.
No, I don't agree with that, man.
He saved millions and millions of dollars
by
closing school for 2 days.
And we have built-in snow days we never use.
Right, and
Kids didn't care.
No, yeah. They didn't. But the teachers
didn't care. Who the hell are you kidding?
You know, I was actually surprised. I'm not a Republican by any means. But Governor Perdue has not done a terrible job as a governor of the state of Georgia.
Let me say something. If your government doesn't do anything,
spend a lot of money.
If you don't recognize your government, if you don't realize they're doing anything, that's the best government. I think Thomas Jefferson said it. I'm misdoing the quote. But if you don't realize your government's doing anything, that's the right government. You shouldn't notice government. Right.
Well, I will say this. When Sonny Perdue came into office, we had a surplus of money. In our banks.
And you should really. You should be spending
it. But within 6 months of him being in office, we were in debt up to our eyeballs for no reason. The Democrats over the last 50 years have been saving money and saving money and saving money and not spending it on stuff. And Perdue comes in and spends a lot. Now, that's the only real problem I have with a lot of spending. Now, that's a big problem. Republicans like to spend. Democrats like to save.
There should be a balance, though.
Democrats like to tax.
Well, everyone likes to spend. You get money.
Democrats like to tax, and Republicans like to spend. It evens out.
You know,
you should balance it, though. There shouldn't be a surplus because there are parts of government that need the money. On the other side, you shouldn't be spending more than you have.
I disagree. You don't need. I mean, there are so many government programs out there. I guess because I have a little bit more conservative libertarian point of view. The point is, what I think is, there's like so many programs out there. Maybe there's some good ones, but the way it is how the management of these different programs are running, and because everyone's getting a little bit piece of the pie all the time. That's how they're making everything
pork
worse.
Barrels.
Huh?
Pork barrels. One thing I've noticed studying government over the years, and I used to be really, really interested in government, and then I got to the point where the government doesn't seem to be interested in us, so why should I be interested in government? If you look at the way Republicans were, say, during World War II, and Democrats were during World War II, and they moved through the 60s and the 70s, the Republicans are thinking the way the Democrats were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And because the Republicans are starting to realize, hey, these certain things will work, the Democrats can't agree with them because no one will vote for them. So they are on the opposite end of the spectrum now. The Democrats have now become the Republicans and vice versa.
And the Democrats back in the 50s, I mean in the 30s, 40s, and 50s are a lot different than they are, to my opinion, than they were.
Because
they were a lot more conservative back then. That's why more
everybody
in the South,
more
you know, you're having a shrinking amount of conservative Democrats coming down. It's coming less and less of them.
So well, it's pretty ironic, actually. Historically, if you'll watch, if you take history is linear, party lines flip and flop, but the people don't, which is really ironic, because you have people, especially in Georgia, who vote Democrat because their fathers voted it, when ironically...
Right, it's not necessarily the best thing to do.
Exactly, because they're very, like, hard-line Christian and all this, which is more Republican, but ironically, they're voting Democrat, which is really funny.
One thing I'm looking at is, and I just had a brain fart.
Cerebral fraculation.
Right. Cerebral what was I going to say? Okay. Zell Miller is a good example.
Yeah.
Zell Miller has not changed his stance once from the day he became whatever it was he was elected to now.
Democrat.
The same exact train of thought.
Keep in mind
that
he spoke
at
the Republican National
The Republicans have changed so much they are starting to agree with Zell Miller. So when, you know, Bush is running for president and Zell Miller is talking for him, he's still saying the same thing he said in the 60s.
But you know what's really funny?
The views have changed so much that the Republicans are basically the Democrats and vice versa.
But you know what? I really don't have a problem with that because you know what? That's actually a good thing in the sense of if you're not an extremist, odds are you're saying just about the same thing as everybody else, but no one's willing to say that. That's the problem. The problem is if you have a middle-of-the-road Republican and a middle-of-the-road Democrat, 9 times out of 10, they're going to agree on a lot of issues. Now, they may differ on small things, but that's personal opinion. But no one's willing to say, you know what? Shit, we're all saying the same thing.
That's
no
why I feel like everyone in both the House Representative and the Senate, they basically have, even as bad as I have to say, Bush has basically lost his backbone now, the second term. Like I liked him in the first
term. He's a lame duck president
true.
Now.
That's probably the same thing when Clinton was. I'm sure he was a pretty much
His second was marred by controversy, so he was.
Here's a question I want to ask.
Even
how many of y'all like President Clinton?
Clinton was the man.
Jamie likes him.
I disagree. I do not.
You didn't like him.
I do not.
Hey, I was on the fence.
Anybody who can get a Hummer while doing his job is my kind of president.
I think as a politician he was decent.
Jason, can you tell me why?
Well, he did his job as a politician. He got the voters to like him.
Hold on a second, guys. Why did you not like Clinton? See, this is where I always
personal reasons I can see it.
Why did you not like Clinton? And they all talk about Monica Lewinsky and stuff.
No, it's nothing to do with that. All
right, go ahead.
I guess part of the thing is maybe, like you said, there's more controversy about 9/11 beforehand, but I don't know the whole spiel. But I think part of it, as his presidency, like when we had both the Canyon bombings and where's the other places they had the.
Oh, there was it was all over Africa.
There was a couple of embassy bombings.
Yeah, Africa and Saudi Arabia, and then basically.
Was the coal during that time?
Yeah, the coal was during that.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah,
the
coal.
Yeah,
you know, they give him a lot of flack because they apparently had a plane on the runway in Africa or someplace like that had Osama bin Laden.
I don't know if that was true or not.
And they weren't sure 100% that he was on there. I mean, what president's going to bomb a plane when he doesn't know who's on there? And they give him a lot of flack for not picking him out. You know. As a president, if someone said, hey, I think he's on there, but I can't prove it, I'm not going to blow up a bunch of civilians and piss off the entire world.
I guess I can say one thing about him I didn't like about is he was basically riding his presidency basically on, to my opinion, on the poll numbers. He was basically
all presidents do that.
Yeah, but I don't think Bush is.
Clinton was a lover, not a fighter, baby.
Obviously, Bush is not because his poll numbers are down in the 30% right now.
He's got Republicans hating him.
That says that most of the country doesn't like him, both Republican and Democrat.
No, really. If you look at the facts, Clinton was the best Republican president we've ever had.
Now, first black president we ever had.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. I can back this up. Every bill that President Clinton passed, it was a Republican idea.
What about the Brady Bill?
Brady Bill, too.
How so?
Yeah, but the Brady Bill was started during Reagan.
Yes.
Okay.
It was Reagan.
Because you know, and you know, all right, here's the thing. I'm going to get off on handguns for a second, but why is it such a bad thing to have a 7-day wedding period? It's not saying you can't have a gun.
No, actually, I'm anti-NRA.
It's not saying you can't have a gun.
I'm just making a point.
It's just saying, hey, we're going to look at you a little bit and make sure you're not a wacko before we give you one.
Yeah. Okay, this is my, to get off on guns real quick, this is my anti-gun thing. I asked a friend of mine who a co-worker. He was glad that the assault rifle bill was coming up for votes. And I asked him why. And he said, well, I hope it gets turned down. I'm like, why the hell would you want the assault rifle bill to get turned down? He goes, because I want one. And I asked him, why the hell do you need an assault rifle? He goes, to protect myself from all the other people with assault rifles. Exactly. So that's why I'm anti-gun, anti-NRA, because they're just crazy.
The NRA is like PETA. Nobody likes them.
No. Exactly. Well, you know, the
there's
NRA,
no point.
The NRA was created the same year that the KKK was considered illegal. That's all I have to say.
Well, the thing with the NRA is they take a small phrase in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that says you have the right to bear arms, or the right to arm bears, you know, that famous joke, ha ha ha. But during that time, it was for a well-formed militia when we did not have a standing army.
Right, when they used muskets.
Yes.
Like powder. In other words, it took you 15 minutes to get a shot off. By that point, you weren't angry anymore.
Actually,
I know. In other words, a well-trained militia can do it in three shots in 5 minutes?
Three shots in a minute.
Okay, sorry, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I know what you're saying. However, you know, they constantly bring that up, you know, we need that. Sorry, brain fart.
Cerebral flatulation.
Thank you. God bless you. We need the NRA because, you know, we have to have rights to bear arms. Or I've seen these bumper stickers that say the only government that you can trust is one that arms its citizens.
Well, look at
Switzerland. They have like, I guess, like kind of like a Second Amendment type law where everyone has guns and stuff like
yes.
that. But their crime rate is down lower than those other places that have high anti-gun laws.
Well, that's true.
Well,
Canada per volume has more guns than the United States. It's just we choose to kill each other with them. It's called natural selection.
No, it's because of the fact that Canada has a smaller ass population in the United States. That's why you have a lower number probably in Canada versus in the U.S.
The more
But however, the fact is we have too many freaking morons.
We can sit here and watch Bowling for Columbine all day long.
Which is a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm not a big Michael Moore fan. But when you boil it down, the point is we kill ourselves with guns more than any other nation.
Absolutely.
Point blank. So the question is, why do we do that?
Because we're Americans. We're naturally pissed off.
I don't disagree with that. But
this country was founded on violence. What's going to make it change? What makes it going to change?
We were a country founded by Puritans on a beer run. The only reason they stopped was
they were looking for a religion.
No, they ran out of beer. They weren't looking for religion. They got kicked out of England because they were too
You can't
extreme.
Practice your religion here. Well, we'll go somewhere else and kill them because they won't practice our religion either. Because
they're savages. Fuck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're a country founded by Puritans on a beer run, and then we're all armed. Yeah, that's a mixture that's going to breed violence.
Just so everybody knows, you should never mix alcohol and firearms.
Unless it's funny.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
you know, they'll let people skydive, but you have to take a class.
Isn't that funny?
But you can go get a gun and just give enough money and wait, and you can get a gun.
I used to work at a pawn shop. He's true. He's not lying about that.
I've gone out and I have bought a gun. It took all of 20 minutes. They did a background check on me. I was clean, of course, and boom, I have a gun.
And I'm not against people owning guns. You should go out. You don't need an armor-piercing bullet.
Right. You don't need an assault rifle.
You don't need something that can fire 32 bullets a minute.
Hey, I know.
I mean, a deer's not that fast. If you can't hit it, you don't get to eat it. I mean, come on.
You don't need a hand cannon. You don't need anything that's going to go through four bodies easily. That's ridiculous to have like a 45
magnum. That goes back to what happened in the Brady Bill is because of the fact certain assault rifles were banned, but that because of the wording of the document of the bill, they had there's loopholes where they can get other types of guns out there.
Yeah.
So I mean, the biggest problem when they wrote it, if they had specified specific types of guns or whatever the thing is, most of them probably you probably decline it. But like I said, I'm for guns. I don't have a problem with people have guns and stuff like that.
The main thing with the Brady Bill was, it's been a while since I've read it, so I may be a bit off, but mainly you couldn't have a rifle with a pistol grip. That was the big thing. And I find it kind of funny because...
Well, it just expired, I think, 2 years ago or something?
It expired about 2 years ago, yeah, because I know a guy who bought an SKS.
Oh, yeah, well, they didn't renew the assault rifle bill in Georgia.
No.
I could go and buy an assault rifle right now if I wanted to.
Absolutely.
Which is ridiculous and absurd, in my opinion. There's no rational need for me to have an assault rifle.
The deer's on the other side of that tree. It's all right. I can still get it.
It's wearing armor.
Well, you can field dress a deer with a bullet from 100 yards. That's ridiculous.
I'm sure it'll taste nasty with that bullet in there,
too. You know, that's what I'm saying. There's no way to rationalize.
Don't hit the head. I want to put that on my wall.
There's no way to rationalize the need for an assault rifle.
We just really pissed off all of our gun-loving guys now.
I don't know.
I love guns.
I love guns. I have several.
I have no disagreement for guns. I mean, if we didn't have guns, if you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. I'm not against that. But my point is there's no need for things like assault rifles.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you just want to saw the head off a deer,
with bullets.
Yeah.
But again, if you give that to somebody, somebody's going to abuse it. That's what it boils down to.
Absolutely.
So. Well, that's pretty interesting. We went from immigration to now guns.
But, when you think about it, they really go hand in hand. Because really only the Mexicans who are here illegally have guns.
No, but
that's such a bad pun.
It's so true.
But think of it like this. You have the illegals coming in.
With guns.
No, wait a minute.
No.
You have the illegals coming in. What are they typically? They're going to be the poor, the underclass.
Wow.
The underclass are going to, majority of them, are going to congregate together and try and form some sort of cohesive unit.
Wait a minute.
They're going to form some sort of cohesive unit where they can feel pride amongst themselves, make money, and that will, usually for poor people to make a lot of money, that means drugs, and for drugs, that means protecting themselves.
Okay.
You now have a gang.
Yeah, that's the essence of a gang. I'll give you that.
So, it's not just the inner city black kids that a lot, there are a lot of Mexican gangs.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of Hispanics.
I think a lot of it has to be a class class reason for all.
Right. I think blacks get a bad rap in that sense. It's not necessarily black, because you take what we consider like the black urban identity and you parallel it with what we consider white trash.
No one can see you doing the little quote symbols there.
Anyhow, go to the bathroom for 5 minutes and I come back on the black-white issue.
We're not.
Warped what you consider your podcast. Just get over it.
Yeah, we're not on the black-white issue.
But no, that's really actually what we're not on. But I was just making an analogy. My point was that we take what we consider like the black urban identity. But if you were to parallel it with what we consider white trash, you'll find there are a lot of similarities. Really what it is, it's not about being black or white. It's about being poor income.
Yeah.
That's what it barely – it's not really racial. It's income-based. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that's really what it boils down to.
That's pretty much the way it is worldwide, though, isn't it?
That's why we call them third world countries.
That's true. The sad thing is the United States is a first world country and a third world country at the same time. You go to some of these little small towns. Here's a good example, Tuskegee, Alabama.
Oh, goodness.
Where?
Tuskegee is a third world country. It is. That little town is
Isn't that where those
country.
Black airmen came from?
It's where they
gave them syphilis.
Yes.
They gave them syphilis to see how it acted on people's mental capacities. But if you drive through that town, seriously, it is like going through the pictures you see of Nicaragua or someplace like that.
I've been through Tuskegee many times, so I know exactly how.
It's pretty scary. You don't want to stop there to like go to the bathroom or anything because you're going to get killed.
No.
Don't be caught there after night.
It's not that bad, I'm sure, but I mean, we have areas of the United States like in Chicago, the Cabrini Green area. It's supposed to be like, a war zone.
Detroit has
oh goodness.
Yeah, I've heard like nasty things about Detroit.
Yeah, you don't even want to go to Detroit. Not if you can
help
it,
except to buy a car.
I wouldn't even do that.
I'm sorry to go off topic, but look at all the downsizing of all the three majors, the big three here now.
Whose fault is that?
Because Volkswagen, Honda, and Toyota are kicking their butts right now.
But if the American cars can get better mileage.
Yes, if the American cars could offer a better car at better mileage, then yes, I would buy American.
Who makes the Scion?
Toyota.
There you go.
Is it worth having?
I'm enjoying it.
He's driving a Scion.
It's a lot roomier than it looks, by the way.
It's shaped like a big shoebox, but the thing looks like it runs great.
Yeah, it runs fine.
And it's actually, you don't feel like you're in a shoebox when you're in the inside. That's all I have to say.
What I have to say is, in my opinion, who makes Volkswagen? German. And what's the other big name? Is it just those two?
German and Japanese?
Yeah, German and Japanese are basically, in my opinion, the best cars out there in the market.
Yeah, but you're Asian.
So, in other words, the Axis powers won the war.
The economic war? Yeah. Yeah, they really did.
Because
we built the Asian economy.
We bombed the hell out of both of them. We destroyed them. Then we built them up again.
Yeah, and then we canceled their debt like dumbasses.
Yeah.
It happened.
When you're talking about, let me just, something I read recently is that the UK has finally paid off their debt to the United States recently. They just finally. But that's fun. It's so funny though. It's like one of our allies and partners, they just finally paid off their debt.
They didn't have to pay it off.
It was a lend-lease program.
I think it was.
It's funny how those things work. But what the irony is, our debt is based off things we owe to our allies during World War II.
Right.
That's when we acquired the debt, was World War II. Most people are like, oh shit, we owe $4 trillion. But it's debt that's never going to be called in. It's debt we owe in bonds for wars and debt we owe to our allies that they're never going to call in.
Yeah.
That debt number they throw out on TV all the time is to scare the United States and think, oh my God, we're poor. We need more taxes.
We went off the gold standard in World War II. The debt is actually just an imaginary number, ironically. It really has no effect.
Actually, we went off the gold standard during Kennedy's time.
No, we went off the gold standard in World War II.
Kennedy took us off the gold.
No, we went off of it in World War II. That's why we went into debt.
I thought it was Kennedy.
Kennedy took us off.
Really? I thought it was World War II, though. Well, why did we go into debt if we weren't still on the gold standard?
Kennedy was like, hey, let's print our own money.
I was pretty sure that was the World War II.
Well, you never know.
Google.
We're going to do a 360-degree spin. It goes straight from the immigration issue to something that's close to our hearts, which is television.
Yay, television.
Because you know what? Without television...
Telemundo!
Yeah.
We can't find more ways to rot our brains.
if it weren't for television, most of us would be going crazy right now because, you know, you got George Bush. We can watch Will and Grace. Actually, I'd choose George Bush. But
yeah.
I'd choose George Bush over Will and Grace in a heartbeat.
I'm sorry. I just...
That show was funny the first season when everybody was
no,
so
it wasn't.
I didn't watch it.
It was never funny.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It was never funny.
You know, I watched the finale last night, and you know what? It was kind of funny.
No.
I watched the 70 Show finale.
Yes.
How was that?
I completely forgot it was on.
Did they bring the others to Topher Grayson?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he came back.
He made an appearance.
Yep. Wow.
He was decent.
It's pretty cool.
I still thought the funniest part was Hyde had a bad trip. So
which
he stopped.
Hyde's the one with the glasses.
Yeah, and the big mustache.
Oh, okay.
And he had a bad trip, so he stopped smoking. And he's got all his free time on his hands, so he starts, like, working out. And he, like, gets himself in good position. So they hold an intervention to get him back smoking.
He's using sobriety as a crutch.
Yeah.
I think my favorite episode of that 70s show is the one where the parents get a hold of
the hash.
1929, the U.S. in 1933.
Okay, cool.
1933.
We went off the gold standard.
That was before World War II.
Far beyond Kennedy.
Yeah, but you weren't right either.
It's semantics. It's semantics.
Closer only counts in hand grenades.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
Screw horseshoes.
Dude, man.
Anybody who throws a horseshoe for fun, yeah, they're hillbillies.
Ding, 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 ding.
Bum, 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 bum.
Let me ask you this. How many of you guys think this new CW, the merger of WB and UPN, is going to flop in a heartbeat?
I don't think it's going to flop. I think it's actually a good idea because the WB obviously have more ratings than UPN. But, you know, you combine the best of both shows, which wasn't really great to begin with, except for maybe, you know,
Star Trek?
Buffy when it wasn't
on. That's true.
Buffy and
Angel.
Angel. What's the Superman show?
Yeah, everybody likes
Smallville.
Smallville's
or WB. I said the World War II, but just so you know, I had the right president. Because Roosevelt was still president.
Well, it didn't count. Roosevelt was president for four terms.
Exactly.
the only president who was four terms.
Yeah,
your useless trivia out there.
Ironically, the Republicans got pissed off and made an amendment. And of course, they probably like...
Now they're hating it.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
Like, Bush is the president forever. Because
exactly.
He's so good.
I actually think it's probably a good idea.
But, all right, the CW, WB, or the WB, UPN becoming the CW, it's a good idea.
No, it's not.
Other than bringing
it's
in.
A horrible title.
Yeah, the CW. What does it stand for?
C is for CBS.
CBS owns UPN.
Yeah,
that's
CBS
right.
And W for WB. One of those.
I forgot about CBS owning UPN because they
still
bought
a horrible name.
They bought out Viacom, didn't they? Or
yes.
Viacom.
They
CBS,
own, they
Viacom.
Own Viacom,
Viacom,
too.
Man.
Just like NBC owns Universal.
Crazy. Yes, which also owns the Sci-Fi Channel, which is the worst science fiction network.
I wouldn't even call it science fiction at this point. I'd call it crap.
Same thing.
Speaking of science fiction, I think the best thing I ever said to somebody was, I hope I don't alienate all my Jehovah's Witness and Mormon listeners.
I wouldn't
worry about it too much.
When we had a group of Mormons come by, and they're like, here, would you like to talk to us about the Book of Mormon? And it's like, well, here, thank you for giving me the Book of Mormon. I'll put it on my shelf with the other science fiction books.
Thanks. I already have a Lord.
How do you decide which books are holy and which books aren't?
Who saw the South Park where they're talking about Mormonism,
yes.
And it's like dum 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 dum.
Freaking
hysterical. So and so did it. So and so dum
dum dum
dum. Then his wife said, "Hey, why don't you check it out? Make sure it's right." Smart, 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 smart. Those guys are brilliant.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, I can't do a show without alienating some kind of listener.
Hey, it works
it's
for
today
South
is
Park.
Hey,
it's
all
hey,
about,
it works
it's
for
all
South
about
Park.
Equal opportunity offenders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Freedom of speech is awesome, but you know, I bet you within 5 years they're going to be like regulating podcasting like you wouldn't believe. The FCC is going to get their.
Hey, actually, have you seen the Penn and Teller bullshit on profanity?
Probably. Jason made us watch that. Jason Campbell. Oh, excuse me. I put his name out. His address is. What is it?
Yeah.
I can give you his phone number if you like.
Those of you female listeners, if we have any.
Number 555-1234.
Yeah, his number is.
For all those male listeners who want Jason Campbell's phone number.
Good gay sex.
Hey.
Right on. Anyhow, back to the topic.
I forgot the topic.
We're talking about the CW, the new CW
and
network.
Editing podcast. The
we digress. Yeah, I think the FCC is going to get their nits into it eventually, and, you know, the internet's going to be edited like you wouldn't believe.
Well, you know what? I really actually think that won't happen for the simple fact there are too many people. That's brought, even China cannot edit the, what goes in and out via the internet, and that's just a lot when you think about it.
I think if the government can make money off of it, they will figure out how to make it work. Yeah. That's the thing. If they can make money off of it, they will come up with the people and the manpower to take care of it.
But, okay, even if our government does it, how are you going to regulate all the other governments in the world?
See, that our government's not worried about the rest of the government.
But, you know, China says the same thing. Any things are getting into China they don't want. China would be what our government was trying to do. So if China can't dumb it, how the hell is our government going to
do? They have a billion people, and I can guarantee you it's a small amount of people that are getting that information over the
mass. That's not the point, though. That's not the point. The fact is that people are getting it.
Well, there's stuff that's getting out now in America that's illegal that people are still listening to.
Are you talking about the kiddie porn? That doesn't count.
No, I'm not
well, what are you talking about then?
You know, dissension in the ranks, people saying things. You know, this country is based on freedom of speech, but they don't mean it.
Well,
you know,
okay,
the government does not want you to really speak what
and
you
that,
say.
And that same idea, the idea of separation of church and state isn't what people think it means. No. It doesn't mean separate your Christian values from your political office. It just means you can't be the Pope and president at the same time.
Right.
That's all separation of church and state means. And when they say freedom of religion, it just means freedom to practice the same Christianity they are practicing.
Now, I'm about to alienate our Christian listeners, but I'm about to say something that makes sense.
Whoa.
I think.
Easy there.
You got a church that builds itself on a street, and, you know, 2 months later, this guy who owns a liquor store wants to open a liquor store across the street from the church. The church can basically say, no, you can't build a liquor store across the street from our church. But do they pay taxes? No. Why do they get a say-so if they don't pay taxes?
Because that's a
aren't
low, that's local
like
government.
Non-profit organization?
Non-profit organizations are a joke. You know what the largest non-profit organization in the United States
Red Cross?
Is? The NFL. The NFL is a non-profit organization.
No shit, that's bullshit. Obviously, the NFL is there to make money.
Yeah, but they donate enough to charity, and the only people making money are the, quote, people in charge.
Oh, what about the
owners?
Athletes? What about
all
the athletes?
Athletes? That's part of the thing. They're able to write it off on their taxes, and they get
just
tax exempt status.
It's like a lot of really rich people out there. I mean,
actually,
that's why you think you
start a foundation, nonprofit,
nonprofit, or any other thing. They used to have many ways, regardless. Like for example, Teresa Hines Carey, they get on her about like, oh, because she's, I don't know. Anyway, point to matter is, she had ways through her accountant to cut down her tax bracket to whatever she. If she paid like normally, like everyone else, because through charities and other organizations, like you said, she had paid a smaller tax bracket. What
right? Okay, well, I used to agree with that, and I felt the exact same way about rich people getting tax breaks. And to the same degree, I still don't know. Well, I still feel it's kind of BS. But when you look at the numbers, 25% of the American populace pays 75% of the taxes.
Right.
So, you know what? I really don't feel bad about the rich getting a tax break. Because one out of four people pay four times the amount of taxes you do.
Poor people don't pay taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you know what?
Plus they get tax breaks.
No, it's
like
the middle
every,
class.
Every time you pop a kid
well,
out.
Well, the rich pay more, and the
yeah.
middle class.
Well, the rich have more to pay.
Exactly, so I don't really feel bad about the rich getting a tax break because they're paying four times the amount we are.
Every time you pop a kid out, if you're poor, you get $1,500.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on the welfare system. I think the welfare is bullshit. Don't get me started.
One thing that's been broached in Congress, but they always beat it down because it's going to hurt everybody, is in order to get benefits, you have to have a job. The only way to get benefits is to keep a job.
That makes sense.
It makes sense to me, and that's the way Europe does it, and they don't have problems.
And honestly, get a job, keep a job, and have no fucking kids.
I don't know, this is going to go awful. I mean, a different way of seeing things about the whole work and benefits thing.
Right.
But you know how we have, like, car insurance and other types of insurance you can pick from? How come we don't have it to where our benefits to where, for medical, like all the medical medical insurance, I was just curious, how would you see if it would be, if we had it to where we would pick it ourselves and not the employers paying for that way, from that point of view?
I think it would work out a little bit better.
Not really.
I didn't understand
don't
the
think
statement.
So.
No. Because
were
if we...
Let me. Well, basically, you know, like if you have car insurance, there's multiple different car insurance or multiple life insurance, for example.
Right.
We have different plans out there.
For what, though? That's what I don't understand.
Health insurance.
Just health insurance. I'm just talking about health insurance,
right.
For example. Because you know how, like, many companies get hurt from paying like the double taxation from like.
Multiple health insurance providers.
They are multiple, but the thing is,
but your employer chooses.
But the employer chooses. Okay, what I'm talking about is what if the
we
if
choose they, our own.
They choose our own versus the employer pay that way. And what, my opinion is, I mean, I know most of y'all probably disagree, but I feel like you would get more money. I think you would get more money by yourself, and you can choose your own type of medical plan versus whatever the employer gives you out there.
Okay, Jason, I have a response to that. Today, I just received a letter from my insurance company. Since I don't have a permanent job yet, I have to buy my own insurance. My insurance has gone from $250 a month to $290 a month in the span of 1 year.
Yes, and but that's just the way the current system is.
That's the way the current system is. But if I was on the plan of the company I work for, my insurance rate would be the same because as a group, you're able to negotiate smaller rates. The more people that come into a negotiation, the more money they bring in, the lower the rates can be.
Instead of paying a whole lot for one person, you get a whole lot through volume is the way
yes.
you look at it.
It's
That's
like,
the idea.
It's basically the same thing as Walmart. Why can Walmart, you know, supply all these items for so low a price? Well, it's because they deal in volume. They bring in millions of units instead of like the mom-and-pop stores, which only bring in a couple of hundred. You pay less for more.
I can see from your point of view, too, but I'm just saying in my opinion, if there was a chance to maybe give the employer or the employee a choice if they want to go their own route versus what the employer has provided for them.
Right.
The problem is you're looking at it from your point of view, and I understand that. But what he's trying to look at is from the point of view of the insurance provider. And that's how they're going to see it. They're going to see, what do I make more money? Am I going to make it more money giving it to you or through X amount of employers? Well, obviously I'm going to make more money through X amount of employers because they have X amount of employees.
Right. Because think of it like this. Say you have 1,000 people working for a company. Each one decides to go with his or her own insurance plan. That means that, let's say there are 500 different insurance plans out there, or different companies out there. So maybe 200 people per insurance plan, if my math is right, and I'm a little drunk, so I don't know. But if, no thank you, I don't need any more vodka. But if you have very few people going after and you have a wide market, you know, their prices are going to be raised because, of course, they need to make money. They have to buy for their families. They have to keep their company going.
Okay.
Now, if you have one company that negotiates with one insurance company and they bring 1,000 people into the market, then, yeah, they can lower the prices. It's going to be, all right, so let's see. We need to make a 3% profit next year. So instead of raising one person's insurance up 10%, we're going to raise 1,000 people's up. Maybe 1%.
I can see it from that point of view, but that's just the way the system is and how it's going to be.
Try being poor and not have a full-time job.
I understand that, but that's the problem, though.
That's how the system is. That's the irony of the capitalist system. When you have the capitalist system, it breeds what it considers the most efficient.
I can see it from that. I'm just saying if there's a better way. I don't know. I just think it from my point of view. Now, from this, if there was a way to be that way, I think it would help. I don't know. Maybe because I guess kind of – I'm not exactly big business, but I'd say a way to where the businesses can help themselves to where they can give other things, like other types of things. It doesn't mean health, you know, like the health insurance, but other things like more vacation time, for example, or – I don't know, like, whatever, like, giving out, like, they have a little Christmas party.
But that has nothing to do with the insurance company. That's
I know, but I'm just giving an example of, like, how, I guess I'm going a little off track, but I'm trying to say, I think if the employers weren't always have to be the ones have to decide what kind of insurance they have to get it, and I'm trying to say if the individual had more of a choice to pick from that way, then maybe in my way I think it helped lower some of the cost that the employer has to pay for the employee, for everybody they have to pay for everybody they hire for that company.
Now, going on that idea, I believe it's in Georgia. Sonny Perdue may have. Yeah, it was on a Sonny Perdue commercial. He is proposing that all children get state-funded insurance.
I remember hearing about this when he was trying to get elected. This was one of his campaign platforms.
And he's pushing it again. That there was a commercial that had a bunch of babies on it and said, you know, we want to give insurance to all these children. It'll be state-funded. That's
I disagree with that.
It's honorable.
I disagree with that.
But
I like it. I mean, it's not going to work, but I like it.
It's an honorable idea,
but how the heck is how the heck is if that's going to give every you're going to make every kid give them insurance? So how the heck is the people and the government going to pay for all these
taxes?
They're not going to be able to. That's the problem.
Taxes.
Yeah, but how do you know exactly the government's going to use the taxes wisely too?
Well, let me put it this way: for somebody who's taking the econ class, the way it works is government decides how much they're going to spend, then they decide how they're going to pay for it. The spending comes first, then the money comes. Not the other way around, like everybody else balances their checks first. No, a government doesn't do it that way. They do it reverse.
Yeah, if a government has a surplus of money,
there's a problem.
There's a problem, because that means that whatever department has the surplus won't get that amount of money next year.
Yeah, actually, I've actually spent time in an embassy, no joke, as an internship. If they have extra money, just so they don't get it cut for next year in case they need it, they'll go out and throw parties for heads of state.
Yeah, they'll throw it on garbage.
Yeah,
I can understand that too, because I work for the government too, and they have every year they have a budget, and when they have like extra money left over, they try to find any way they can to spend it. Because if they don't spend it, they know next year they're going to get a smaller budget out of that.
They will spend the hell out of some money come September.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we covered that pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
What's
where
next?
Were we before that tangent?
CW Network.
Yeah, CW Network.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. You guys have fun.
Yeah, CW Network. One was a bunch of whiny rich kids. The other was a bunch of, I don't know what the other one was, because the other one didn't last very long now, did it?
not to sound bad, but UPN was mainly for a black audience, except for like maybe Star Trek, Voyager, and Enterprise, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
Buffy and Angel,
and then Roswell. And that's about it.
Okay, so the other one was for it was the free BET. How's that? That work?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not offensive, is it? It was the.
I don't see it being offensive.
All right, it was the free BET. I mean, hey, I've watched BET myself, and it's sometimes enjoyable. I don't get the comedy, but hey.
I guess it's a cultural thing, man.
Although Dave Chappelle is funny, but anyway.
Okay.
What next?
Wow, we've been on this podcast for quite a while.
Over an hour. Yeah.
Over an hour now.
Yeah, hour and 2 minutes. This is what's known as dead air, people.
Yeah. The government talk, my favorite, one of my favorite government quotes is at Churchill, who said that democracy is the worst form of government. Except for all those other ones.
Absolutely.
What did that was?
But it's the best we got, yeah.
Right.
Hey, I'm not the one who quoted
it. That's the way I heard it just yesterday.
Actually, I think it was, democracy is not the best, but try the others. If you want to see something worse.
Yes, but the United States does not appear to ever.
Well, that's why I said it, because yesterday I read, he said it's the best, it's the worst form of government. He said the word worst form of government,
yes.
Except for all those other ones. That's the only reason I remember it.
Okay. All I have to say is people who like democracy or sausages should never see either one being made.
Absolutely.
I've seen sausage, so.
Yeah,
are you said sausage?
Yeah.
Sausage.
Oh, never mind.
People like democracy or sausage to never see either one being made.
Yeah, because there's awful a lot of pork in both.
The EU is proof that you don't want to see any law being made.
God, the EU is fucked up.
They couldn't pass legislation to get themselves out of a wet paper bag.
Okay.
Especially with the French there to veto everything.
Now
I am French. You will not
insult
me.
Wow, we've been talking about politics all night.
Okay.
So
what do you want to get to? I mean,
at some point we were talking about gun law and immigration, but put back.
Yeah, all
I think
right.
We already threw that to the ground already. with those two issues already?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of boring. It's kind of like, eh.
Hey, suggest something.
Yeah, bring this back to collective order.
Should we talk about television again?
Sure, why not?
Our movies? Or should we go?
Yeah, movies. Upcoming movies.
Da Vinci
Silent
Code.
Hill rocks.
Da Vinci Code just came out.
The summer movie fest is coming up. The stuff that you're anticipating seeing.
X-Men 3.
Yeah,
I agree. X-Men 3.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Those would be the two movies.
I have to disagree. I didn't like Pirates of the Caribbean. Wasn't my kind of
You're anti-American if you didn't like Pirates of the Caribbean.
This is my spiel.
See, it was just eh.
It was kind of eh.
Johnny Depp, dude, that was fucking awesome.
He was every single pirate I've ever already seen.
Well, yeah.
Look,
the sound,
cool.
He was
it's
a stereotypical
cool
pirate.
The line, you know,
he said it himself. I just played every pirate I've already
pirate
seen.
Ever heard of, but you have heard of me. Come on, dude, let's put it all.
Wow, we even
yeah,
have
exactly.
The screen even
exactly, you have heard of me. He is every pirate you've already heard of.
But that was the whole point, dude. It was a movie based on a ride. What the fuck do you expect?
I got what I expected. It was
exactly.
Eh.
So quit bitching.
I agree with you, Derek.
I got what I expected. It was
you,
eh.
It was like eh.
Thank you for listening to us this week. We had to cut that a little bit short. We're late, running out of time. So thank you for listening.